fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to talk again today about a theme that recent popes have put their finger on called the culture of death. I want to talk about it. It can be kind of a grim topic, especially early in the morning. You want to have something to pump you up, something to hope in. But what I want to do is talk about it in a way that can help us understand what we're facing, because every day you and I step into a battle. Every day we wake up, Christians understand this fallen world we live in, though it was created good by God, is very broken. It is now the battlefield. Whether we want to admit it or not at times, this is not our home. We're made for heaven. We're made for God. We're made for the kingdom of God. And we know that the earth has become a battlefield. And the battle is between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And the battle is over the destiny of eternal souls, fundamentally, yours and mine. And Scripture is so clear, exhorting us to be awake, to be alert, to be sober, to be clear-headed, to understand the situation that we're facing. So this week, I wanted to just talk about this topic because I can see so clearly the ascendancy of the culture of death that Pope John Paul II, Pope Benedict XVI, and in many ways, but in different terminology, Pope Francis talks about in our time as well. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the programs this week, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are right there. You can listen to them on the computer. They're archived. You can put them on your iPod, listen to them at your convenience if you'd like. I began talking this week about a story in Amsterdam, about euthanasia. Two women, a woman in her 20s, a woman in her 40s, both having been sexually abused. They don't know each other, separate cases, but suffered deep depression from their experience. Therapy wasn't effective and didn't work. And so, since in Holland, euthanasia is legalized, these two women chose to be euthanized, to be killed, to be murdered. And so, since 2002, when the law was established, over 5,000 people, including children, have been euthanized. And my point in bringing up the story, as grim as it is, it's something we have to see and take a look at. It's another pillar of the culture of life that has been brought down. There's a battle between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. There's values that undergird and are expressed in the kingdom of life, and there are values that undergird and expressed in the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness, there is no God, there are no commandments, there's no natural law. God is not the master, the master of my own being and my own destiny. The great deception there is that human beings actually believe that if we say no to God, we actually are free and we are the masters of our own destiny. But we're not. We live in a fallen world, and a fallen world that is dominated. The fallen dimension of this world is dominated by Satan and demons that are enslaved to Satan and doing his work. There's no neutral ground. There's no third kingdom. There's two fundamental forces at work for and against the human person. God's kingdom ruled by Jesus Christ and the kingdom of darkness ruled by Satan, period. That's it. And Western civilization understood this for 2,000 years and shaped the culture in a way that allowed us to, as Scripture says, to walk in the light, to identify a way of life that allow us to live in accord with our own nature, our own destiny. So the euthanasia examples are so grim because this is another thing we've taken from the hands of God. Life and death is in the power of God. No one has a right to take their own life or to take the life of another. Life and death belong to God. Every single person that's created was formed in the palm of God's hand. Every person God created is God's idea. We literally are God's possession. We were made for Him to serve Him, and it's the only road to happiness and ultimate fulfillment. God is our heart's deepest longing, even if we can't feel it or touch it, because of the pain, because of what may have happened to us, maybe what we've done to ourselves, and we're not there yet. But God's life, God Himself, is what we were made for. So when we pass from this life to the next, we're going to appear before God. And if we die claiming God's prerogatives as our own, my body is my own. I can do with my body whatever I want. There's a baby in my body. It's my possession. And if I decide that I'm the one to determine whether it's a human being or not, whether that human being is going to live or not, my choice. Why? Because I'm my own master. Okay? At the end of my life, I'm sick, I'm tired, I don't want to suffer at all anymore. And I'm the one who's going to decide for myself. And this is what the whole conversation is again about. Everybody has the right to do this. And we're going to, governments can protect people's right to define their own reality in this way. We used to know in a culture of life, we used to know that these decisions, that my rights are only rights in relationship to God or how God has made me. Nobody has the right to do wrong. Nobody has the right to define what's right and wrong. We're not the master of our own existence. This is a gigantic lie, friends. This is the kingdom of darkness. I ended the program yesterday talking about another expression of the culture of death and what's emerging. It's a book I read a few years ago called Why Civilizations Die, and part of the book was an observation about the demographic winter that's settling in around the world. That is, people refusing to have children. Civilizations are literally dying because people don't want to have children. And we see in many parts of the world, fewer and fewer people getting married. People don't want to get married. People don't want to make lifelong commitments. People don't want to have children. And all of God's glory, what he's given to us, story in the garden, I've made you male and female to cling together so the two can become one flesh, so a family can be formed. Be fruitful and multiply is God's command to us. There's a refusal on so many levels, friends, of God's will and purpose. And it's because when the reality of God gets pushed from the human horizon, as Pope Benedict XVI said, what ends up happening is darkness sets in on the human mind. We lose hope. We're more prone to fear and deep anxiety, and we're anxious. And the devil manipulates that fear and anxiety. I can't afford it. It's going to take away my fun. It's going to take away my pleasure. Whatever it is that causes anxiety, then we end up saying yes to the pattern of life and the way of life that's consistent with a culture of death and not a culture of life. In the population battle, you could say the demographic winter. I'm just going to read a few quotes from the book. It's a fascinating book reflecting on the data from the UN and what the UN has identified in this demographic winter. It says, population decline is the elephant in the world's living room. We know that the social life of most developed countries will break down within two generations. Two out of three Italians, three out of four Japanese will be elderly by 2050. That's right around the corner, friends. If present fertility rates hold, the number of Germans will fall by 98% over the next two centuries. No pension and healthcare system can support such an inverted population pyramid. Here's the concern, is to say because civilizations are not, countries are not having enough children, they can't sustain, when they enter the workforce, the number of people who are retired is much larger than those who are in the workforce. And then more burden is being put on those in the workforce to pay for the care for those who are seniors. Now, this is being set up for, you see how neatly now euthanasia has emerged in Holland, is emerging in other places, that what's going to happen is, because it's going to be so costly for the elderly to live a long period of time, it puts too much burden on the next generation, we're going to see a new gospel coming from the culture of death that's going to be very eloquent. And what it's going to say is seniors have a duty. They have a duty to be euthanized. So you've had your life, you've lived your life, you cannot rob the next generation of their resources, their financial resources, and the freedom that they desire, so you need to choose to die. It's coming, mark my words, it'll be here. Another quote, for the first time in history, the birth rate of the whole developed world is well below replacement, and a significant part of it has passed to the demographic point of no return. So what we see is that mortality stalks most of the peoples of the world, not this year or the next, but within the horizon of human reckoning. A good deal of the world seems to have lost the taste for life. And it's amazing. This entire book makes it clear we're seeing something the world has never seen before. I mean, civilizations have passed away. They've been conquered, plagues, and other reasons that civilizations pass away. But as far as we know, we are the first civilization, despite the fact that we're the most educated. The countries he's describing here, says they're disappearing by their choice because they've lost the will to live. It's another sign, friends, of human despair, of hopelessness. The repudiation of life among advanced countries living in prosperity and peace has no historical precedent. Today's cultures are dying of apathy, not by the swords of their enemies. Dying of apathy. The awareness of death defines the human condition, so that human beings cannot bear their own mortality without the hope of immortality. And our sense of immortality is social. The culture of a community is what unites the dead with those who are yet to be born. The death of a culture is an uncanny event, for it erases not only the future, but it also erases the past. Individuals trapped in a dying culture live in a twilight world. They embrace death through infertility, concupiscence, and war. Infertility, concupiscence, and war. One of the reasons why we're so addicted, friends, in the West to perpetual, nonstop entertainment. One of the reasons why pornography is just ubiquitous, it's a plague that's emerged, is human beings, those are signs that human beings have lost joy. They've lost hope. They've lost confidence and a sense of their own identity securely. And we're looking to medicate ourselves to escape the despair of the day-to-day. It says, demographic winter arises from a crisis of faith in the West as well as in the Islamic world today. As traditional society gives way to modernity, faith and fertility vanish together. This is the result of when it stands to reason. When a culture of life disappears, when a culture acknowledges the existence of God, that we're designed for a purpose, and we recognize male and female, we recognize the family as the fundamental building block of human civilization, we know the meaning of human sexuality. It's not another contact sport. It's something beautiful. It's something holy. It's something sacred. It's wonderful. And family life is God's gift to us. It's not something we can just simply manipulate or ignore. We certainly can, but it doesn't make the reality of the value of it disappear. Why have so many branches of the human family lost the will to live? They have lost the cultural resources that enable them to cope with their mortality. Why do these young women want to be euthanized? Because they can't see beyond their immediate suffering. None of those doctors are helping them find hope and hope in Christ and the capacity to pass through suffering, to understand that we're on a journey, to understand that life here is short and soon will appear before the judgment seat of God, and that despite your suffering, you're of infinite value and infinite worth. That light is no longer being carried, that standard. And we're coming under the way of life of the kingdom of darkness. I want to continue talking about this tomorrow. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in the year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.